You didn't get a bulletin today. Did you forget it when you walked in? There are no bulletins, yes. If you'll notice today, just as you wander the campus, there's carpeting on the stairs as we go down there, which is, I think, going to enhance the quietness up here during second service when the kids are screaming down there with Charles. And we got carpeting down the back stairs, carpeting in the offices. But what that did to the office is that we had to tear down the office, including all of the rat's nest of routers and modems and everything else. And in putting it back together, the modem went out, so there's no internet, there's no networking, we can't print, we can't do anything. So these are the old days, baby. No bulletins. But we do have little cards for you. I hope you had a card. If you didn't go to the Vision Banquet and didn't get one of these cards, I'd like you to get one today. If you don't have one of these cards, get one. Now, the same problem we have is that with the printing, we have only the supply that we had. So if you've already got one somewhere, don't take one right now. But if you didn't get one of these, didn't go to the Vision Banquet, take one of these. I want everybody to have one of these and have it available to you. I went to a funeral yesterday. Kelly's cousin died, and so we traveled to San Juan Capistrano and spent the afternoon at Coast Bible Church, literally. I have a rule about funerals. If you want me to participate, it's going to go about an hour, and that's it. I know you're a marvelous person, but you're not worth 2 hours at the funeral. So we're going to keep it about an hour. Now, having said that, I do think that's the best distance for a funeral, even if you're a marvelous person. But it was great. Every part of the funeral was great. He's a good guy, and it was a marvelous funeral. It honored God. It was just great. But, when you go to a good funeral, and it was a good funeral, even though it was too long, when you go to a good funeral for a good person, it forces you to examine your character. You have to sit there and say, would my kids say what his kids are saying right now? Because they said some, and every one of them talked. And every one of their wives. Would my kids say those kinds of things about me? Right? Would my friends say those kinds of things about me? Would my neighbors say those kinds of things about me? What would they say about me? The people that I go to church with, what would they say about me at my funeral? Those kind of funerals force you to examine the life that you're living. And the most poignant part of this funeral, and it was really great. I mean, he's a good guy, and his family is you would want that kind of family and that kind of life. But the best part of it, after every family member spoke, and they had three pastors. So now you know what I'm talking about, because that's like your nightmare. It's three pastors at your funeral. That's really funny. You think it's funny, don't you? You get it, yeah. So if you have three pastors at your funeral, it's going to go forever. And they had an open mic on top of it. So, but it was worth it, because one of the guys who came up at the very end of the open mic, and I'm sitting there, Mr. Grumpy, like, it's like, come on, let's go. It's a reception. I'm hungry. And here he comes. This one guy comes up, and he talked about how Rick loved him, cared for him, and led him to Jesus. That's powerful stuff. You know, that's the kind of thing you want to have spoken at your funeral. Are people saying, yeah, he's a great guy, and he's fun to be with, but best of all is he showed me who Jesus was. Now that's powerful stuff. That's important stuff. That's what you want to do. I think it should be mandatory to go to good funerals 2 to 3 times a year. So people need to start dying so we can have these kinds of services so that you can kind of evaluate your character and grow in Christ. Some very positive things about that. So if there's any volunteers, Dan's taking names and at the welcome table, just kidding. When I told Kelly what I was preaching on, she said, I think I'm going to stay home. What I wanted to preach on midweek, I was supposed to preach on Exodus 5, but we're not going to do that today. Midweek, I got riled, and my sermon title midweek was Bakers, Doctors, Lesbians, and Circumcision. Now, that would have been interesting. You guys would have come back for seconds. Now, I'm going to offer that sermon up for anyone who'll take me to dinner tonight. I'll preach that sermon to you at dinner tonight. So you just make arrangements with the wife. We'll go to dinner. You pay. I'll preach. Okay? But today, what we're going to do, a very important thing, we're going to do a little bit of housekeeping. And it's important. This is February. February, we've been doing, this will be our second year, where we've designated February as kind of a pledge month, where we challenge you to say, what is it that I'm going to give financially to the church for this month? Let me be more intentional about that. Let me be prayerful about that. Let me talk about my commitment to the church and what we're doing, and to engage at a level that's responsive to the voice of God in your life. That's what we would like you to do. And so, you know, you've seen these this month. You'll get one of these in the mail if you haven't seen them already. We have a pledge card for you, and we've got a letter talking about just this process. And we feel that this has been a great thing for our church. The last year was phenomenal. It's awesome to be stable in the black financially. That's a good thing. It just energizes, I think, all of us. But those of us who are in the office day to day and week to week, that's a huge encouragement. It kind of shifts your thinking when that's the case. And so God bless you for your faithfulness, and we just want you to encourage you with that, and I'll have a little bit more to tell you at the very end. But today we're going to do a little bit of housekeeping. We're going to talk about the vision banquet, because not all of you were able to be there. And Dan said before the vision banquet that this year's vision banquet was going to be the best ever. And it was. The prophet has spoken. And it was. And we just feel like we all need to be on the same page. So listen, when you're in your household and you think about being together with your wife and the planning that you do and the direction that you set as a family, it's kind of intuitive and regular, and there's some regular structural things that happen in your family that force you along that road. Bills, right? Kids, dreams, retirement. So you have some of these things that force you in a particular direction that drive your behavior as a couple. These are the things we have to do because of these circumstances, and you get about doing them, and you partner together, and you do it, and you achieve what you set out to do. And because you're living together, and you're both got your hand in the till, then, you know, those things happen naturally, almost. You still have to have those conversations, but you're forced to do it on a regular basis. In an organization like the church, we have to do other things to get ourselves on the same page, because here's the beauty, one of the beauties of the church is that many hands help us do larger things, things that we can't do on our own. And vision is about things that are beyond our capacity and ability to achieve. They're about something that's bigger than just what I could do by myself. An organizational vision captures the potential of this crowd and this group and says, what could we do together for the kingdom of God in this community? And so that's the big picture that we want to paint in a vision and in a vision banquet. And yet our challenge is that if we have a vision but we don't execute the vision, you know what that is, don't you? I have a little card on my office hanging there. It says, vision without execution is hallucination. Right? And so the last thing we want to do when we talk about the kingdom and our obligation to the kingdom is hallucinate. We want to dream with our eyes wide open during the day to accomplish what God has set before us and not just talk about it. So that's what our vision banquet is about. Now, this is our 90th year. This church has been in existence for 90 years, and that's awesome. We're going to celebrate on Easter Sunday morning with a combo Easter birthday celebration. 90 years old. That's marvelous. This will be 2016, will be my 25th year here at the church. And we've been doing vision banquets for a long time. But I have to tell you, in my 25 years here, and I'm going to say, I'm going to speak for our history, for the 90 years of this church, I don't think we've been at a better place than we are now. I think our church is positioned and poised to do what God has designed the church to do. I think that you can slide in right now and be a part of God's work here. There's a way for you to get in. It's easier than it's ever been before, and it's clearer than it's ever been before what we're about. So we've got three cards. I've already talked to you about the first one, the pledge card. We'll come to it at the end, but I want you to, if you have that card, take it out. If not, it's up here, this green card. This is the first card I want to talk about today. And I want to keep this as simple as possible. But we've been talking about our mission statement for a long time. And our mission statement is that we exist to worship with passion, share Christ's love, and grow in faith and obedience. As you've listened to this and looked at the card or looked up there, you've noticed I left a phrase off of it that's actually new. I gave you our standard old mission statement. But this year we added a component to it that is designed for us to put feet onto that mission statement and not just leave it in the conceptual, but bring it down to the practical. And it's that we exist to make disciples who worship with passion, share Christ's love, and grow in faith and obedience. The reason this church exists, and the reason that any church exists, is to make disciples. Now, we've been talking about this for a long time. And part of that is a learning curve. Part of that is figuring out how to make that happen on an organizational level. Part of that is how to make that duplicatable. But what we want to do is this, is we want every person in this room who's a part of this church, every person in this room who's a believer in Christ, I want you to begin to see yourself as a person who makes disciples. I am a disciple maker. That needs to be part of your new self-concept in Christ. This is what we do. Believers make disciples in obedience to Christ. So each and every one of you needs to grapple with what that means. What does that mean for me to be a disciple maker? You need to start that, because what we need to do at this individual level is make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And we need to reproduce that. That's what's been going on since Jesus left the earth. And you could trace it back. Well, you probably can't, but you know, maybe we will, and that's one of the things we'll do when we're with the Lord, is that we'll be able to kind of go, George Titoff led me to Christ. Who led George to Christ? Who led him 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 to Christ? All the way back to Paul or Peter. Because from the beginning, the church has been making disciples who make disciples who make disciples. So that's the one level. The second level is we want to have groups of disciples, because disciples congregate. They gather together for fellowship, for worship, for support, for prayer, for study, for all of those things, for accountability. And the basic building block of groups are our Grove groups. So as you'll see on this card, we want every one of you to be in a Grove group. But we want those Grove groups to also reproduce and multiply, so that groups branch out into other groups, they branch out into other groups. So we have individuals, we have a smaller group, and then we have the larger group, which would be a church, a congregation. And we also want to have churches that plant churches that plant churches. So it works at every level. The multiplication process is built into this discipleship process. Disciples make disciples. Groups branch out into other groups, and churches plant churches. And that's the process. Now, I have to tell you, we have our hands in all of these three pots for the first time in this church's existence. There's activity at the micro level, at the group level, and at the church level. And that's exciting. And there is a pathway, that has been our 2014 sermon series, there's a pathway that's in place, designed, for someone who doesn't know Christ to come to Christ, to become a disciple of Christ, to make other disciples of Christ, and if he wanted to, actually get involved in the church planting process as being someone who's sent as a missionary or sent as a pastor. One of you, in the future, can come through this process and we could actually send you out to plant a church. That's exciting. Now that process, that pathway is a necessary pathway for churches to grow and thrive. Especially if we want to make it past 90 and not have a funeral for this church. Because churches, like any other organism, live and die. They have a birth, adolescence, adulthood, old age, and then they die. And when you get a church to our age, you have to say, what are we going to do to revitalize this church and to move it in a new direction? And your elders did that in the last decade. They faced that reality and said, we're right here, and if we keep going, we're going to head down here. And we need to do something to keep us going this way. And that's where we are today. And I have to tell you, it's good work that they've done. It's good work, and we're at a great place, and we're positioned to do another 90 years. And that's exciting. And you want to be part of that. In fact, you don't want to be a part of that. In order for it to work, you have to be a part of that. So we're asking you to do two things. Well, and I'm going to add a third one, but on this card, there's two things on the back. Number one, I need you to pray. And number two, I need you to get involved in a group. I'm involved in a group. And my group is planning to double within the next 18 months. So I'm in a group that's planning to double in the next 18 months. Now, our group on Thursday nights, I'm going to brag about our group for a second here. I don't lead the group. That's the first good thing. That's awesome. And the second thing is that this group has been praying every week. And as I listen to the requests are not self-centered. And they're not about a relative's health issues, which typically are the bulk of prayer requests in groups. Do you know what they're praying about? They're praying about their neighbors and their friends and their contacts who don't know Christ. And they're sharing that in the group, and the group's praying for that together. Now, that's a dynamic that's very powerful that I've not seen in groups. And those kinds of things are the nexus of this movement and this growth and the vision. Okay, so this is why I've handed out this card to you today, and I want you to take it out. So this card tells me the two things that I'm going to do, and I want you to pray about that. Now today I'm going to put feet on the first one for you. I'm going to give you this card. On the one side it says prayer, care, and share. It tells you, number one, that we want to pray for people, and it has five categories of people. People that are in your categories of family, friends, neighbors, co-workers or students, and the last one is I've called strangers. People that I don't yet know, people that God's going to bring into my life, people that I might encounter by chance or that I might encounter just in the future, or people that I want to get to know that I don't know. Okay? So those are the five categories. And I want you to make a list on this side of at least 10 people from those five categories that you're going to begin to pray for every day. Every day. So I want you to take your list. I want you to make it. I want you to carry it with you. Like this one. And I want you to have it with you. And this one's almost ready for me to redo. And I want you to pray for your list every day. I can get this list on your phone for you, if you like, because you look at your phone every day, right? I can get it on your phone for you. Just come up to me afterwards and hand me your phone, and I'll look through all your contacts and all your Facebook and all your messages, and then I'll set you up. I won't do any of that. But I want you to pray for these people every day. Every day. Now let's think about this just for a second before we move on. Before I ask you to do anything else, these are things you can do. You don't need any special training. You don't need any resources. You don't actually even have to make a sacrifice to do this. This is something you can do right now. But I'm going to guess, I'm not going to count, but I'm going to guess there's about 80 people in this room right now. So, if we multiply 80 by 10, if every one of you writes a list of 10 people and prays for them every day, how many people are we praying for? 800 people, right? In first service, it was 400. So we're up to 1,200 people that we're praying for right now. So when you start thinking, in church life, we talk numbers. When people encounter me and they find out I'm a pastor, one of the first questions they ask is, how big is your church? It's big enough, is what I say. Right? Because it's just one of these posturing things. How big is your church? It's a measure of success. People think that if you pastor a church and it's very, very large, you're successful. If you pastor a small church, you're, oh, that's cute. That's nice. That's nice. Right? So it's just a silly question. But let's add a significant number to that question. So maybe what I should say now when people say, how big is your church? My church is this big. My church prays for 800 people every week. My church prays for 1,200 people every day. Every day. Now think about that. In this room, we know 800 people who don't know Jesus. In this room, we know 800 people who don't know Jesus. So two things. That should thrill you to death, because that's the mission. God said, go and make disciples. And number two, it should break your heart. Because we've essentially, what we've done as a church is we've bought into what we call the fortress mentality. And that there's enough people in the room. I mean, there's only a few spots where we could fill it up. This is great. Us four and no more. And then, because what I'm going to ask you to do is start praying for people who are messy. Right? And so we only want the people who are like us to come into this room. When people who aren't like us come into this room, we get a little uncomfortable. But I'm asking you to pray for those people. Let's get those people in the room. Let's destroy the fortress mentality, and let's aggressively pursue the mission of the church, which is to go and make disciples. But all I'm asking you to do right now in this first step is fill out that card, 10 names, and every day this year, pray for those people. Every day. That's something you can do. And I'm going to tell you what, this blows my mind that you don't actually just think about this every once in a while. If at the end of this year, if we just count the first two services, the third service will add another 300 people to it. So let's just take the three services, 1,500 people. That at the end of the year, we could stand here at Christmas and say, we were faithful this year as a church to pray for 1,500 people every day. Do you not think that's significant ministry? If we believe that prayer is important and that God is a God who listens to our prayers and answers them, that's significant ministry, to simply pray every day for 1,500 people. I say we do it. What do you say? Yeah, right? We don't do that. I said yesterday at the church, one of the pastors, one of those three, said, amen? Amen? Amen. Like, you guys don't even know how to do that. So that's what I think is a powerful thing. So take that, pray every day. The second category is care. You got to care for people. We're not looking to target people. We're looking to love people. We're looking to love them. And so pray for them and then care for them. Do something kind. Say something kind. Send a note. Make some cookies. Help with yard work. Invite somebody to dinner. Invite them to an event. Invite them to an outing. begin this process of praying every day and then looking for ways to actively care for people that are on your prayer list. And then lastly, at some point, take the plunge and ask a question so that you can bridge over into sharing your relationship with Jesus Christ with people. So we pray, we care, and finally, we share. You can do number one without any problems. If you run into trouble at number two and number three, that's why Dan and I are here. That's why elders are here. That's why others are here who've walked down this path and can help you. Our phones are not unlisted. You can find my cell phone number on the internet. And when you see one of my 3,000 cars over here, you can drop on in, right? We will help you with steps two and three is what we're saying. And we'll find somebody to help you with that. But once this happens, once you start praying, you're going to be in my office. Like, what do I do now? Right? And that's what we want to do. So that's my encouragement. And that's a powerful, powerful, powerful thing. What I'd love to do is this. We need to paint the church, the inside of the church, by the way. But before we do, I'm going to get a Sharpie. And I'm just going to hang it up over here. And you're going to come over here and take your list. And you're just going to write it on the wall around the cross. I'll get a little ladder. So we're going to fill names around that cross. Now just picture it. I don't know if the real leaders of the church are going to let me do this, Joanne. But just kidding. But can you picture that? 1,500 names surrounding that cross. And you praying for them every day? Do you think that's going to change your attitude towards these people? Do you think this is going to change their attitude towards you? And then you know what will happen? Is that someday, if we leave that list up there, someday someone will come in here and they'll walk over there and they go, is that me? And you'll go, sure is. Isn't that a great thing? And then that person might get up at your funeral. Right? Amen. And say, she was a great person, but because she loved me, I know Jesus. See, that's how the church should function. Not everybody in this community is going to go to a Greg Laurie Harvest Crusade. Not everybody's just going to stumble across a television program. But I'm going to say this, every person in this community, and it's part of our mission statement, is that we reach every person, every man, woman, and child within the range of this church. Every man, woman, and child within the range of this church so that they could hear and understand the gospel of Jesus Christ and have an opportunity to respond to it positively or negatively. How are we going to do that? Am I going to do it? You want me to go door to door? Is that what you want me to do? It's not going to work, first of all. I'm grumpy, and lots of people don't like me. And I'm probably not the best person for it, really, believe it or not. But here's the deal. How did we purchase a piece of property that was well beyond our means to do so? How did we do it? How did we raise $1 million and buy 18 acres of property? How did we do it? I didn't have that money in my account. Did you? No, all of us did something small over a long period of time. And so we did something small over a long period of time and we arrived at $1 million and we purchased a piece of property and we still don't quite know what God's going to do with it, but there's an asset over there that's ready and waiting for God to fill with opportunity for ministry and for his glory. And we did that by each of us participating in a small way in doing something that none of us by ourselves could have done alone. And none of us by ourselves alone can reach every hidden person in this community who's hiding out in their house behind three fences. But you probably can if you begin to pray and say, Lord, there's three fences at that guy's house. How am I going to reach him? And God's going to say, let me show you. And when miracles start happening in your life because you're praying about the right things, then your faith is going to be energized. You're going to be excited about the mission. You're going to be excited about what God is doing in your life. And then you're going to be excited about what we're preaching about. because all of that comes full circle back into I need to know now, because those things fuel all this other stuff. So let me just give you some math. I'm in a group, as I said, that's going to double this year. And if I can get my notes up, we'll do this. And, well, let's just say 18 months for the sake of just making the process a little easier. Because if I can, well, just, we'll do every 18 months. 9 years. I'm going to be here for another 9 years. Most of you probably are as well. And you can say, you can see yourself being involved in a group for another 9 years with a group of people. It's really a powerful thing and a good thing for you to do. But if my group doubles, let's say there's 10 people in my group and we double in a year and a half. So at year 1.5, we now have two groups with 20 people. If they double in the next 18 months, we have four groups with 40 people. That's at year three. At year 4.5, we have eight groups with 60. At year six, we have 16 groups with 160 people. At year 7.5, we have 32 groups with 320 people. And at year nine, we have 64 groups with 640 people in them. Now, we have three groups right now, not one. So if three groups did that, here are the numbers in 9 years. So three groups, we go from 60 to 120 to 240 to 480 to 960. At the end of 9 years, that's 1,920 people. If you just go one more 18-month stretch, that's almost 4,000 people. Do you see how that works? It's just like buying the property. If every one of us commits to something small and is faithful to it, the results go way beyond what any one of us could do on our own. Now, I'm not naive enough to think we're going to bat 1,000. But even if we did 300 like a good baseball player, even if we bat 300, we're talking about a tremendous impact in the community and for the church. And that's awesome. So I want you to do those two things. Right now, today, you can do this right now. You can make a list. And you can start praying every day. I hope your list is already in play. I hope you've already got a couple names on it. Don't leave this room without a couple names on that list. Fill that list out. Carry it in your pocket. Put it on your phone. Begin praying every day. And then secondly, sit down with your wife, your husband. Why aren't we in a group? What needs to happen for us to get in a group? Do we need to start a group? Do we need to visit a group? Do I want to host a group? Do I want to lead a group? By the end of this year, I want you to have that significant conversation. And I want to be able to ask you by the end of the year, are you in a group? And you say yes. And I say, are you in a group? And you say no. And I say, why not? Right? That's what we need to start doing. And just even in our own church here, we should have more than three groups so that we can double those groups and be at work at the business of God. All right. Three things. This is part of the announcement, so sermon's over, technically. Yeah, amen. Anyone say amen? Amen, amen. So, we also today are talking about Pledge Month. This is our last Sunday of Pledge Month. And so I just want to put a couple of details on this. Number one, we want you to intentionally and prayerfully consider your level of giving this year. And there's some suggestions or some just pictures for you about what that looks like. We want you to, when you give intentionally, not just randomly. We want you to be committed to the mission, the purpose of the church, and involved in that process. And money, even though we don't like to talk about it a lot, is a necessary component of life and of church life. It just is. We want to be as gracious and as sensitive when we talk about money as we possibly can. We don't want to be heavy-handed, nor do we want to focus on it or be manipulative, but it's reality. It's reality. I've never been involved in a church that didn't need money and didn't have to have money to function and operate. So just as a reality. So we want you to be intentional about your process with money. Secondly, though, as part of our vision, we want to expand our external giving, our giving to outside ministries, a missions perspective. And so we're challenging you this year in three ways. We want to raise an additional $2,000 per month to give outside of the church. So if 20 of you decided to give 100, You know, you can do the math, anything, but we're not limiting to that. If you want to give to the special project to missions, we want to encourage you to do that. We're trying to raise that in addition, though. We don't want you to take that away. We're saying, I want to do something in addition, and we're looking at three different places to invest our money. The first one is with our own Vince and Gail Trujillo. Vince is a missionary with Mexican Medical. He's also one of our elders. Part of his vision in Mexico has grown into possibly starting a church. So Vince may be starting a church there, Olive Grove, Tijuana. Awesome, Tecate. Well, we can do both. All right? So we've supported Vince for a while, but not in a way that I'm really proud about or excited about. I'd love to give them much, much more. So we're hoping to increase what we give to Vince and Gail. So that's one leg of that $2,000. The second leg of that $2,000 is Dave DeVries. Dave DeVries has been a part of my life for over 20 years. He's been behind the scenes a part of this church for, off and on for that length, just in terms of how he's influenced me. But this last year and a half at a much more intense level. And he is our Missionary Church Western Region Director of Church Planting. And he also is a church planting director for what used to be called Overseas Crusade. They go by One now. So he is a missionary in the United States dedicated to church planting, church planters, encouragement, training, coaching, starting churches here in the States. And so he's a missionary here in the States doing church planting. And so we want to invest in his ministry because not only do we believe in it, but we want to use him to come back and help us with our own processes. So, and he already has. So that's Dave. Dave has preached here at the church. If you've been here long enough, you may remember. And then the third category is that we have begun a relationship with a church in Paris that was planted 3 years ago. Pastor Don Meinberg was here a couple of weeks ago and gave the message. He was also at our vision banquet. But we want to partner with them in ministry, and we want to help them. They're at a transition point, 3-year point, and we want to help them get to the next level of stability and growth and disciple making as well. And that's our heart. And I think Don shared with us they've baptized over 65 people in the last 3 years, new converts to Christ. Just a great opportunity for us to involve ourselves right here next door. So it's the Acts 1:8 thing, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world, and we want to have our hands in that. And that's how we want to kind of change our mission focus, is that when we give to missions, we actually have hands-on contact and direct ministry involvement. So those are those three categories that we're excited about. And what I'm really excited about is this, is that from this individual level, disciples making disciples, groups branching out to more groups, and churches planting churches for the first time in our history, we've had activity at every level, active, hands-on, direct activity at every level of that sort of ministry. And we need to just jump on that, build on that, and see what God's going to do. All right, so you have an assignment. I hope you prayerfully take that before God, and that you hear his voice saying, this is what we want to do as a church. And so in obedience to you, Lord, I'll do that. Father, that's our challenge today, to see how you've drawn us together as a team and as a church, how you put us in the same room together, and Lord, how we need to answer the question, how do we join together and serve the one mission and purpose of our one Savior and Lord together with arms united, with a united purpose, united energy and excitement. And I pray, Lord, for that for us and for this church. I pray this in your Son's name. Amen.